David Svinopterp here with Stefan Biankowski, and with the January transfer window now open, we've made two transfers ourselves. We have Ali Farhat to my left and Sophie Serbini to my right. So the biggest thing that probably has happened in the Winterpause is something that actually won't happen in the Winterpause. It's actually something that's going to happen in the summer, but that's Niklas Süle and Sebastian Rudi are going to Bayern Munich after the season. And it's kind of weird to lead with this story, but it is the most recent. And they're the two very big players, big German players that are moving to Bayern Munich. So, Stefan, I want to start with you because you made the point on Twitter that Niklas Süle going to Bayern Munich would basically mean that three of Joachim Löw's best defenders are going to be battling for two spots. So what do you think, now that it's official, what do you think of his move now?
I said potentially the three best defenders for Germany. There are others. There's obviously, you know, Benedict Hovedes is still 28. And there's obviously Jonathan Tah as well at Leverkusen, who might be better than Süle, to be honest. I think it's a smart move from Bayern. I think a lot of Dortmund fans probably looked at that and thought, why aren't we making these kind of bids? But I think it's smart. It's Bayern being Bayern. They see a young kid, they buy him, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next season if Martinez stays around, because if he does, that's four players looking for a spot. I know Martinez can play centre mid, but usually seems to be playing more centre back these days. So I think he's a good player. I think he's a really good young player. He'll probably spend much of the next season on the bench, but that's how it works at Bayern.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because Sophie, I mean, he's not going to play that much. Was this a move too early for him? Was this like a Leroy Sané kind of thing where you have to question whether he's actually going to play, or it's too early to move from the club that he grew up with?
He may play a lot, actually, because the three, like Hummels, Boateng and Martinez, are very fragile. They get injured a lot, especially Martinez, that has missed so many games for Bayern since he signed, and it's been 4 years and he has missed a lot of games. I think he could play maybe around 15 games without problems. I think it's not that much, but I think he's going to get his chance. I don't think he's going to sit on the bench all year, actually. I think he's going to play. But maybe it kind of looks like Mario Götze's move is that he's young, he was in an up-and-coming team with a very good coach. Mm-hmm. So he could have stayed with him. He could have stayed with Nagelsmann, mm-hmm, and improve a little bit. I don't know, he's so good. I think he's going to play. I think he made a big move, and I think it's not like Leroy Sané. Yes, there are people, but people that get injured so much. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to play, and he's fragile, though,
yeah,
a little bit himself. So yeah, that may be a problem, though.
I think any young German player who gets linked with Bayern has to seriously consider it, obviously. You know, it's a dream move here in Germany for any player who... I mean, sure, there might be some players who are huge Dortmund fans, but even like Sebastian Rode, you know, the huge Dortmund fan, even he went to Bayern, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's not a good example, though. But, you know, there are players like Joshua Kimmich, for example, so if they...
Well, I think he is a good example, because yeah, he was out of contract. He could have gone anywhere, and even though he may have grown up a Dortmund fan, if Bayern are interested in you got to go there. So, I mean, I think it's still a brave move for Süle to go at this stage of his career, because, he didn't get called up to the European squad for Germany yet, and he, even though he played very well at the Olympics, like Sophie said, he's still very fragile. Ali, how do you think he's going to fit in there at Bayern?
I think it will take a little bit time, but like Sophie said, Boateng and Hummels and Martinez are players which have some problems with injuries, and it's always good when you are Bayern and you are chasing for all possible titles to have someone like Süle, which will probably have his chance next year to make some play some games, and I don't know if it could be imaginable for Carlo Ancelotti, but the new old-fashioned is to play with three center backs,
mm-hmm.
and it could be also a possibility for Bayern Munich to play, for example, I don't know, with Boateng, Hummels, and Süle, and then to play with Alaba on the left and Kimmich or Lahm on the right. So,
well, that's why I think you. That's why I think you said potentially the three best defenders playing for two spots.
Yeah.
I think the point I was trying to make, which I probably didn't make very well, was I mean it could be three spots depending on who the manager is.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
So if a manager decides to go with a back three, I mean Süle right now is playing in a back three.
I think it's a good move. I think it's a good move. He's going to Bayern. A lot of people, as they always do when Bayern sign a player, criticise him, saying, oh, you know, he's just going for the money. But it's not the same as when Bayern sign a player, it's not the same as Manchester City buying someone or Manchester United buying a youngster. Or
anybody
Chelsea
in China buying
someone. Or anyone in China, yeah, sure. You know, Bayern sign players with a reason. Now, two things here. What I want to know is this probably isn't Ancelotti signing. I don't think Ancelotti really... Not so much that he doesn't care, but I think he's quite happy just within reason, work within the squad that he's given. I don't think he's the one going out and saying, I want this kid because he's going to be so good in 3 years. So I don't think it's... It'd be interesting to see if Ancelotti specifically wanted him.
Yeah.
Or if it's, you know... I don't even know who's doing the transfers now at Bayern.
Well, is Ancelotti... I was going to say, has Ancelotti ever been like that? Has he ever been like a player... I don't think he's ever been a manager that's been like, I want this player.
In PSG a little bit. He was the guy that...
It's because no one else was there.
No, Leonardo was the last part of Europe, actually. But they were very close. Mm-hmm. They knew each other very well. So they worked in hands. Mm-hmm. At Real Madrid, you don't choose your players. That's for sure. Yeah. He didn't choose any players.
Pep Guardiola didn't choose any of his players either. I mean, he wanted Neymar. He wanted Bayern to play
The difference between wanting Neymar and having a say in transfers.
But still, I mean, there's other players that he wanted as well. He got Thiago. Of course, but there was other players that he wanted as well, he wasn't a guy that probably was planning on adding Sebastian Rode to his team. Sebastian Rode barely played when Pep Guardiola was there, so I don't know if that's necessarily the case that Ancelotti would be the guy that says that young guy is the guy that I want.
And he's not going to be there in 4 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's too.
So he's a guy that stays a lot at Milan, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's the only club where he stayed a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to be there in 4 years, but for Bayern, it's really a buy for the future because Hummels and Boateng are going to be 29 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hummels has said multiple times that by the time he's 32, 33, he will stop. And I believe him. I think he's not going to be a player
Mats Hummels and Boateng both look like men who cannot wait to retire.
I think they're not going to play until they're 45, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They're not that type of guy. So they have to think about that.
This also puts the Holger Badstuber loan to Schalke into context.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he probably knew about this and thought, right, okay, well, it's time for me to get moving here. Unfortunately, I know he's a very popular player among the fans.
Among the Bayern fans, particularly, because he came up through their academy, so I think a lot of Bayern fans were upset when they saw him in a blue kit.
Yeah, and so I think this is probably a good example. This might conclude that he's probably not going to be stick around at Bayern anytime soon. Not that Holger Badstuber would be playing anyway, probably, because he's always injured all the time, but I think now that they've signed Süle, he's probably thinking, okay, I'm now fifth or sixth in this picking this order. But I also want to know what Nagelsmann thinks about this, because this is almost akin to, you know, Tuchel losing Hummels, Mkhitaryan. I mean, he lost Gundogan, he lost three players, there's only two, but Sebastian Rudy and Süle are really, really, really important players in that Hoffenheim team, like right at the heart of the team. And you know, I said on Twitter today, I was like, Hoffenheim make no secret about accepting that one day Nagelsmann will leave. He's obviously a very good coach. He's going to be too good for Hoffenheim very quickly, probably. And you know, selling two of his best players isn't a good way of making sure he sticks around any longer.
Isn't this pretty much a reality check for Hoffenheim, a team that has come up the table, and then even though they have a strong backing, I mean, players probably are not going to stay there.
No, but thing is, Hoffenheim is building a lot of players, I mean, from the academy, etc. So I think someone like Nagelsmann will see if he want to stay and try to build with new youngsters, which is always possible because, yeah, Hoffenheim is known in Germany now a little bit like, yeah, they have a good youth academy and... yeah, they could maybe Nagelsmann would think, yeah, I could stay here. Why? To make my to try to be more mature in the thing, and then he would go. Thing is, I don't know. Okay, Nagelsmann is good, but what did he do? What did he do until now? I mean...
oh, of course, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he didn't achieve anything yet.
Yeah.
So maybe he will also... Okay, even if he... I mean, even if Hoffenheim makes a lot of publicity about him and know that he is going to leave, maybe he will... It would be better for him to stay a little bit right now, to stay some years and try to achieve something. Like, for example, someone like Thomas Tuchel did.
In Mainz.
Or Markus Weinzierl in Augsburg, for example.
Yeah, go to Europe and...
Well, because that's the thing, that Hoffenheim has a good chance of going to Europe.
Yeah.
But if they're losing players like this, I mean, they're going to end up like Mainz are this year, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, well, this is kind of my point. I mean, obviously, if they finish... I mean, even if they finish top six, top four, it's an amazing achievement, but Nagelsmann could quite easily be saying, you know, I've done all I can here at Hoffenheim, it's all downhill from here because... We're losing our key central defender. We're losing our... Sebastian Rudi, the captain?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're losing our captain. One of the few German internationals they have. So, I know what you're saying. Hoffenheim are very, very good at not only producing young players, but they've also got a very good scouting system at finding young players as well to buy. But I don't know how you replace guys like Süle and Rudi.
Yeah, but I think it's not the problem, actually. Because if you want to be a good coach in the future, so you have to go... You have to have good and bad times. He had bad times because he was given a team which was bad. He tried to make something of it. This year, it's working very well. But I think if he's going to leave now because the excuse is, two best players are going and I decide to go, I don't think it's good for him. For his experience.
Yeah, I don't think he would leave after the season, but I think Stefan, your point was more that...
No, I wasn't suggesting he was going to take off now. I'm just saying that's a good way of pissing off your manager.
He might, though.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, there's probably a lot of big clubs that are already looking at what he's doing there. It's not a secret what he's doing there. So
I think at the end of the day, he knows exactly what that Hoffenheim team can achieve, and where they are right now is probably what they can do, the limit of what they can do. So if he does that, he leaves in a high, maybe somewhere else. Someone on Twitter said to me, "Hey, maybe I was like maybe he'll follow them to Bayern one day." You know, I was like,
"It's possible."
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible.
Maybe he could replace Ancelotti
but
or something.
Maybe it's too soon. It's like when
Tuchel linked with Bayern.
No.
I think he was, but
yeah, but like not seriously.
Not seriously.
Roger Schmidt, I'm thinking of. Okay.
Yeah.
And Weinzierl was also linked to Bayern. But
It's Bayern, so
yeah.
I mean, I think everybody that's good probably think, oh, this guy's pretty good. Let's send him to Bayern.
And there was the German debate in Guardiola area. Everybody was talking about the fact that Guardiola was not German, and that's one of the reasons that it wasn't working. It was working, but not like wanted to. And everybody thinks that they needed a German coach.
And then they've got...
I think maybe at some point...
But Ancelotti is the only exception in Europe.
Of course, yeah.
Everybody
Pep Guardiola too. But I think those two guys definitely. So speaking of defenders, there was another big name, somewhat big name, in terms of teenage defenders moving around Europe. It is Dayo Upamecano. He was with he was a Salzburg player, and reportedly he had a lot of big teams scouting him, including Barcelona and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich as well as some teams in England. But he's going to RB Leipzig instead, which is would be the fourth player this season, including before the season and during the season, that that Leipzig have poached from their quote farm team in Austria, Red Bull Salzburg. So since he is a French player, I think it's appropriate to go to a French speaker to have him tell more about this guy Upamecano.
Dayot Upamecano played by Valenciennes in the second league, in Ligue 2, and Salzburg has had a huge interest to him and picked him, so we weren't able in France to see him playing a lot. And
because nobody watches Austrian football,
and because
even the Austrians don't watch it. Did you know they moved the times of their games? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
They moved a couple of years ago, 2008, I think. They moved all their games so that they were no longer on TV the same time as the German Bundesliga.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way.
Yeah, so it's very smart.
So
sorry.
Anyway, since we haven't seen anything of him,
what I saw from him is he's very, very mature for his age, like a little bit, but in his domain as defender, a little bit like Ousmane Dembélé. Mm-hmm. He's not feared at all. Mm-hmm. He really enjoys when he plays, and he's really how can I say it? In German, we would say er geht zur Sache, but I don't know how to explain it. But
what's in French?
Yeah, maybe I can say that.
Yeah, in English, you could say he doesn't ask himself questions, so
he doesn't question himself.
And I think. One more time, I mean, it was a weird move when he went to Salzburg. Mm-hmm. It was a weird move, a little bit like Naby Keita. He mm-hmm. was playing in the second division in France, and Red Bull Salzburg came to him. And now he's at Leipzig, and I think it's a very clever move because he will have time to develop and to watch what he can. Mm-hmm. Away from France, where every youngster which is good is hyped like like hell, actually.
Yep. Yep. Sophie, this is a winter transfer. Most winter transfers are expected to play. How much time do you think that he's going to get at Leipzig?
I don't think he's going to play that much this year because
He's 18.
Yeah.
And they have two guys that are pretty good.
Yeah, it's working, and I don't see them changing the way they play or to integrate him, like it works that way, so I don't think he's going to play as much. I think it's a January transfer, but it's between Salzburg and Leipzig, so I don't think that counts like as a winter transfer.
Yeah,
I think
those transfers always have an asterisk at the top
because you don't even know if it's not for the budget, like the balance, and you don't know why they do that. I have no idea why they didn't wait 6 months.
Because I have a theory of why they didn't wait 6 months.
You already talked about this in the show before, actually.
Just a theory with this one in particular. It's that I bet you that Leipzig saw that Barcelona, Manchester United, and all the big clubs were scouting him. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, well, if we don't do this now, then in the summer, he's probably going to get even more hype, and more teams are going to probably be willing to pay the 10 million euros that he got in January. Mm. So instead of waiting and having him play, because I'm going to say I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the transfer window if Leipzig actually loaned him back to Salzburg and said, okay, we bought you now, you have a Leipzig contract, but we'll send you back to Salzburg, that way you can continue your development with that team. This continues this really weird new dynamic in the transfer window, and I mean, what do we make of this? This is like an American sports like calling up from the minors type of thing.
Yeah,
it's D-League.
Yeah, or the D League in basketball.
I hope there's no Austrian people listening to this show. God almighty. You know, I don't actually have a bigger problem with it, to be honest with you. I mean, English clubs already have similar setups with Belgian teams. They might not own them. And Chelsea do actually own a team in Belgium and a team in Russia. Or the guy, they're collectively owned by some company. Manchester City have clubs all over the world. And yeah, I don't really have an issue with it. As long as it's legal and both football federations are okay with it, then, yeah, I guess it's just the way football is.
But should it be legal? I mean, it's 10 million euros. I mean, that's just a price, I think, to make... Oh, is it a price to make like people to make it seem legitimate, or is it actually like money changing hands?
But I think, like, in this case, it's very obvious because the two clubs are owned by Red Bull.
Yeah.
But in some case, it's not obvious, and yet there is links between the club. Like for Ousmane Dembélé this summer, he was in Rennes. Rennes is owned by a businessman, a French businessman. He's the owner of Puma. And he went to Borussia Dortmund,
which is sponsored by Puma.
Not sponsored, partly owned
by Puma now. So yeah, so it's not a link that's obvious to people, so everybody thinks that it's a good and normal transfer. I think there is no normal transfer anymore.
Yeah.
Most of clubs have strong links between them because they have the same sponsor, or like it's
a
like Pogba
agents as well, like Atletico Madrid's. Their summer transfers depend entirely on one or two agents, depending on where they want their players
Valencia
to go.
Valencia, which is controlled by Mendes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Or for example, Raiola, which
at
brings three players to Manchester United
this summer.
So, I think I don't think it's as murky as maybe agents or people in the clubs. But to go back to the football specifically, the interesting thing I find with it is that, if you'd said this at the start of the season, I would have thought this is a fantastic signing. It's exactly what Leipzig need, because I remember when we went into the season doing the previews, we're like, that Leipzig team looks so top heavy.
Yeah.
There's so much talent up front, and then they've got people like Comper and like Will Orban and stuff in defence. But they've done okay though. They've got like the fourth best defensive record in the league, you know. So on paper, you think this guy's going to walk into this team, he's going to be a future star, he's going to be fantastic. But maybe it's going to be like, you know, the Oliver Burke thing. We all thought Oliver Burke was going to walk into his team.
And David Selke, too.
Yeah.
That's why I asked, I mean, how much is he going to play? And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually didn't play at all.
Yeah.
And you don't want to break the dynamic.
Yeah. And I think from going off what I've been told with Oliver Burke, it seems to be that, you know, Hasenhüttl and Rangnick obviously have very specific, you know, systems for how they want their teams to play. And until a player is ready to play in that system, they don't get to just walk into the team. Burke seems to be a player who struggles to do that, at least now. But Leipzig are happy just like, okay, this kid's still young, he's got talent, he doesn't have to play, he's got time in his hands. You know, I think this defender, I cannot pronounce his name, so I'm going to call him the defender.
Upamecano. Just a lot of syllables.
Well, he could be the exact same. We might not see him until, we might only see him once or twice before the summer, but...
Well, I'll make this point too. If you're a Bundesliga fan, I think that you should be happy about this move, because he didn't go to Bayern or Barcelona or Real Madrid. He's going to another team in the Bundesliga, which means that the Bundesliga is actually recruiting like pretty high level, quote unquote, we actually don't know, but pretty highly touted prospects to their league. So even though Leipzig might have this really convoluted way of doing it, and you might not like the way that they do it, I mean, David Upamecano is going to be playing in the Bundesliga. He's not going to be playing in Spain or in England. And as a Bundesliga fan who likes to watch good football, that's good news.
But I think the Bundesliga is very popular with French players right now. Like, a bunch of them sign this year. And yeah, I think it's really popular, and that's weird because nobody watches the Bundesliga in France. It's the least popular championship of the Big Four.
I think the feeling's mutual here.
But Ligue 1 sucks, so that's normal. Like this year, it's good, but like I understand that nobody watches Ligue 1.
Yeah.
But like in France, we rather watch Italian football. That's not very good. Right now, than Bundesliga, that's for sure. But it's very popular with a young French player because, and I think Ali said it earlier, that since we don't watch it, we cannot talk about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have a big problem with the young players that we hyped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we love to talk about our young players so much. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in the Bundesliga, nobody talks about you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can develop
mm-hmm.
and be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. So the
no.
media doesn't care. So it's very good for you.
That's an interesting point. Like, do you think Dembele, maybe at Dortmund, do you think he feels maybe less pressure at Dortmund than
we,
he would if he was
I
in England?
I think yes. Yeah,
yeah.
He,
even
he
though play, we talk about him a lot.
Yeah, but it, he if he would play for Arsenal, for example,
mm-hmm.
it would be the hell
yeah.
for him, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's been hot, very hot and cold at Dortmund this season, but if he was doing that at Arsenal, it would
yeah.
be, you know, being so
yeah,
much
like
better.
Martial is very watched because he's playing at Manchester United or those players.
Yeah.
They cannot breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kings, or Kingsley Coman, actually, because he's playing at Bayern Munich. We watch Bayern Munich,
mm-hmm.
so that's okay. But Dembele, we watch him a little bit, so...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the other players, like, nobody is talking about Anthony Modeste at all. Nobody. It's crazy. He's like,
that's because nobody will talk about Cologne, though.
Nobody, even if he was,
even in
know,
Germany,
even if he was at Schalke, nobody will talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Yeah. So, speaking of France, there was a big German player, of course, that moved
mm-hmm.
to France, and that was Julian Draxler. And he moved with a pretty big fee as well. I believe the fee was 40 million, if I'm...
42.
42 million, thank you. Moved to PSG with just a season and a half at Wolfsburg. Ali, since this is going back to the Frenchman here, the token Frenchman, he scored.
Parisian.
He's a Parisian as well. So he actually scored at the weekend, I believe, too.
Yeah.
The great goal, fantastic goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So what do you think about the move for him? And was this the right move for him to make?
The thing is, I like the player, but I don't like the person. Not this lot, actually, because the way he went from Schalke was weird. The way he went from Wolfsburg was weird. So I was, a little bit surprised, but also not surprised why PSG decided to take him, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for him it's a good move, because Paris... is a city which I can imagine he could live, actually,
mm-hmm.
because he's when he was in Wolfsburg, he was in Berlin. So
from Wolfsburg to Paris, well.
Yeah. So no, I think it's for him it's the right move, because he has the thing to become a star
mm-hmm.
there, to become the number one the offensive player there. Because
do you think that will happen? Because I was going to suggest the opposite. I was going to suggest that for the first time he's no longer
the first player. I made that point too.
The key man in a team. He's surrounded by stars. Although he seems to have already replaced Di Maria, which I'm quite surprised at.
Yeah, because Di Maria sucks.
Well, that was the thing I was going to mention, because Di Maria, I think there were reports that he basically doesn't really care, and his
he
never really cares, which is why he plays in PSG, and that's the, and that's why. I thought that this is actually the only club that I think that Julian Draxler could have gone to, where it would have been socially acceptable, because he doesn't really care about, I mean, he didn't really care about Wolfsburg when they got rid of all of their players. So where do players go that don't care? If they go to PSG, so for lots of money. So
I'm looking at Ali going.
Most of the guys like that. I mean, how can you buy Di Maria after the season he made at Manchester United for 64 million and be happy?
Mm.
How is it possible? I mean, and it's actually the problem of PSG since Leonardo decided to quit because he was suspended because of a dog story.
Because we don't understand football in France.
Yeah, and he decided to quit because he was suspended 1 year or more than 1 year. Since then, there is no project anymore. That means at Paris Saint-Germain, we only have players. The only players that will come are players who like money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And sometimes it works, like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because he's kind of the guy who has some values and say, I'm here to score goals, so I'm gonna score goals. Because
some values, okay.
And some other, like Angel Di Maria, like I said, he came to Paris after a year where he was really bad at Manchester United. It was a flop. And the thing is, my problem is Paris Saint-Germain does ask himself the good questions. It means Paris Saint-Germain was interested, like Arsenal and Manchester, and I don't know who. But the thing is, none of these clubs made an offer for him, and they were the only ones. And they didn't ask themselves, why are we the only ones which are making an offer? You know, they are not in a competition for this kind of player. So, and the thing is, okay, right now it matches. He scored a goal against Bastien French Cup. He scored the only goal of the game against Rennes. It could work, actually. But how long?
I kind of, what you said at the start was actually, I'd probably agree with you entirely. I don't like the person, but I do like the player. And it's weird. I feel like I kind of agree with you in the sense that he doesn't seem... it's quite easy to describe it as like a bad egg. You know, he's got a reputation, he's got a personality, he's a prima donna, if you want. But I actually think he's probably actually quite driven as a player. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that really sticks out is that Yogi Löw likes him, which suggests to me that he can't. I mean, if you say what you want about Löw, but he's very specific about the kind of players he brings into the German team, and he works.
Sandro Wagner's basically exhibit A with that. Yeah. What, I mean, he didn't make the squad, but Julian Draxler did,
and he works well under Löw. So I think it's been really interesting to see what happens at Paris because you know. I've had this fight with John a few times on Twitter actually about his actions, and I think to a large extent you can kind of just he can justify why he left Schalke, because when he left Schalke he was too good for Schalke, and Schalke were all over the place.
Well, I don't think that was the issue. That's arguable too, whether he was too good for Schalke, but also the fact that he, instead of going, I mean, he went to Wolfsburg too, rather, I mean, say what you want about Wolfsburg, but they're basically a money-driven club, and they don't have a lot of fans. And
they were challenging for the Bundesliga when you went there, though.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not challenging, but they were second
place. But they were second place, and very distant second place. And then sure that they won the German Cup, but, I mean, who moves to a club because they won the German Cup? You know,
I think people...
And you don't move to Schalke, to Wolfsburg, when Schalke was, like, five the year.
Schalke were a mess.
He was injured all the time.
Yeah, but he was underneath God, who was it? It was there.
Di Matteo.
No, yeah. Who was the sporting director? I forgot his name though.
Horst Hennessy.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but you don't go to Wolfsburg.
You don't go to Wolfsburg. Yeah,
it's not a step up.
No, but you. But when you watch what Kevin De Bruyne just did at Wolfsburg, he probably thought,
when teams like Juventus are interested in you too, I mean, do you really choose Wolfsburg over Juventus?
No, but he didn't choose though.
Yeah,
he didn't choose because Juventus asked for Schalke asked for, I think it was 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
Juventus, that is a club that doesn't want to spend that much money on player that they have no, I don't know, that they are not sure about.
Mm-hmm.
So they say no, it's 15 or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So Schalke said to Drexler, okay, so Juventus wants 15. Yeah, we can. 15 is not. Good for us. So either you stay a year, you are good, and then we sell you to Juventus for a good price, or you go to Wolfsburg. And he chose Wolfsburg. So he chose Wolfsburg, that's for sure. But
It
was staying at Schalke. But I think it's not a step up. Like, Wolfsburg is not a step up from Schalke. You can say what you want, even if they won the German Cup, it wasn't like that big step. And I think PSG is not... It's a step up from Wolfsburg right now, but PSG is going to get kicked out of the Champions League in 3 weeks because they play Barcelona. So you're going to be in a team that is not that good, that has problem like every year in the Champions League, even though they have so much money because they have no project. So you're going there. He's going to be good because he's a good player and the Ligue 1 is not that difficult. You have good teams, but he's going to make an impact, that's for sure. But is he going to win title except for the Ligue 1? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So he's going to PSG because he has no option right now. Like Ali said, nobody wanted him that much.
Mm-hmm.
for 40 million, every club was like, yeah, we like you, but not that much. And it's weird, and I don't know what to make of him. And I think everybody is at the same point right now, is that he's a good player, but he has no sense of what he's supposed to do, and that's really weird. Mm-hmm. And what's weird is that I think he's a little bit like Mesut Özil, is that he's a player that's really talented, but likes it when there is very talented people around him.
Yeah.
So people don't care about him.
Yeah, there wasn't talented people around him at Wolfsburg at all.
Well, and I think in PSG he has players that are good, and that the French media love to talk about, like French media love to talk about Cavani. So mm-hmm. I think he's not going to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yet. He could make an impact, so maybe...
One comparison maybe worth making is Toni Kroos moving to Real Madrid, in the sense that when Kroos chose to leave Germany,
mm-hmm.
he thought he wasn't appreciated enough at Bayern Munich.
Yes.
He goes to Real Madrid, and I think he was maybe humbled a little when he went to Real Madrid, because surrounded by stars, and now he seems to me to be a much more rounded player, because I don't think Real Madrid I don't think Real Madrid by any means are a club that... are very good for developing footballers. People go there once they became good players. But Toni Kroos, in terms of his personality, I think has completely changed since moving to Spain, because he's no longer...
Nobody cares about him.
I know, yeah, exactly.
As good as he is, as important as he is, nobody cares about
him.
Exactly.
He's not the ones on the Real Madrid posters.
Yeah, and he can just get on with his job. And I mean, in Germany, Bayern have always got amazing players, but he was almost like... This metaphor doesn't really work, but it's the best thing to come up with, where he's like a big fish in a small pond, even though Bayern aren't a small pond, okay? But you know what I mean? Where he was one of the German players, he was one of the best players of the German national team, he was going to be the next Bastian Schweinsteiger, and then he falls out with the club and then he moves. And he goes to Real Madrid, and they don't even look at him. They're like, yeah, okay, we want you, but you're not the manor around town here. And he's just got on with it, and he's become a much better player for that. So it'll be interesting to see if Julian Draxler has something simpler. He walks into that PSG changing room, and there are maybe five or six guys who are making more money than him, who mm-hmm. the fans are crazy about, blah, blah, blah. And maybe a similar thing might happen.
The only problem is, I think, the city for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a big problem, because those type of player,
too,
like
Angel
Di Maria, yeah, they came, and Paris is a city that, when you have money, it's
yes.
the best city in the world.
True.
Nothing can compare to Paris. So... There have been so many players that came to Paris with very good intention, and then you go out and then you lose your football a little bit, and that happens to so many players, like Javier Pastore. Lavezzi is such a good player normally, and he didn't do anything for 3 years.
He spent his life in steakhouses. Argentinian steakhouses.
Yeah, and Pastore is the same example, like very good player, but no... Yeah, so many parties, so many girls, so many... And I think Draxler was kind of like that in Wolfsburg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Berlin.
So yeah, it was going to Berlin, but
maybe
Berlin
Max
is...
Cruiser, apparently.
Yeah, but Berlin is not Paris. Yeah, if you have money, it's the craziest city, so... I think it's going to be a problem. He has to be very... But Emery is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to drive him better than... He needs a strong coach, and he's a very strong coach.
Yeah, and even if he's 23, it's kind of a last chance of the first part of his career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll find out.
So
we'll find out.
Yeah,
but
and because it's Germany, I mean, offensive talents you have a lot every
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
New people, and you can miss the train
mm-hmm.
very fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that he's in Paris, Wolfsburg actually brought in three players to replace him. They brought in Younes Mali, of course, from Mainz, Paul-Georges Ntep as well, and Richard, I'm going to butcher this name, but Richard Bazor from Ajax. So,
Ali knows how to say his name.
Bazor.
There you go. But Younes Mali obviously was the biggest one, because I think that there were some reports that it seemed like Mainz's price was a little bit higher than what they got, and the fact that he moved at that time was
mm-hmm.
also very interesting. But is he going to be the guy that's going to actually get this Wolfsburg team going, or is this just going to be another Draxler situation where he just doesn't fit?
Yeah, I think it's a smart sign from Wolfsburg. He's obviously a player who's proven in the Bundesliga, and when he was good at Mainz, he was great, you know, and he was linked to Dortmund. I believe they tried to sign him last January. Yeah. Mainz weren't having any of it. They said, you can have him in the summer. And then by then, they'd already decided to sign, you know, Dembele, Emery Moore, blah, blah, blah.
So many guys.
Yeah. So it seems as though Mali missed his chance to move to Dortmund, and he's been sulking and he's been upset ever since.
Well, Ruben Schroeder actually gave an interview talking about this transfer, and he said that... because Mali obviously didn't have a great second half of the season. He said that he wasn't sure that Mali actually wanted to move, and he wasn't sure that Mainz were going to get the best price for him. So having this first half of the season, he's actually one of the highest scorers in terms of goals and assists in the Bundesliga. I looked it up recently. I didn't even realize that. Quietly, he's actually one of the best attackers in Mainz. But Sophie, it was interesting that you said Draxler took a lateral step from Schalke. Is Mali basically doing the same thing?
I don't think so. Because even when Mainz is very good, it's still a team that has no money at all. And it's a team that people like, but people are not passionate about it. Like, they're not passionate about Wolfsburg. But when Wolfsburg is working, it's a team that some people can follow because they have a recent history of winning title. Like, Mainz, it's cool. Like, it's a club that when they're going to the Europa League, you're happy for them, but that's it. So I think for him, like, it's a step up in terms of visibility. If he wants to go abroad at some point, he's not going to go abroad from Mainz. That's for sure, because I don't think so many people follow Mainz. Except people, even when Wolfsburg sucks, they follow Wolfsburg. So he can go there, do two good seasons there, and then go abroad. I think it's his plan. Mm-hmm. His plan is not to stay in Wolfsburg. I think it's nobody's plan, actually, most of the time. But I think it's weird that he went in January, though.
Yeah.
Because even if
it's not that weird in January?
I think it's weird because Ruben Schroeder also said, he left his... He said goodbye to nobody and just sent SMS. So I think it's weird the way he went.
But
so,
maybe the reason he has left is because obviously Wolfsburg suddenly had money, they suddenly had to sign someone, so they went to Mali. And he thought, I'm not going to let this happen again. This is what happened last year with Dortmund, and then they moved on. I have to get out of here, because Mainz is a lovely place, you know, a lovely club. But if he's wanting that step up, he probably thought, I can't let this happen again. I need to make the move now. You know?
Well, there were also contract extension talks. That's also worth mentioning, that they were going to actually extend his contract. And he did have a buyout clause in the summer. That I think it was around 10 million euros. So maybe he did. Maybe also Mainz didn't want to wait until the summer, because they would have gotten less money for him.
Yeah, and the thing is, who decided? Because, I mean, the offer came to the club, not to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, he didn't look... he never looks happy at the moment. He's quite a...
He doesn't look happy ever, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't look happy at all when he was with the shirt. So, yeah, maybe it wasn't much his choice, and maybe it was a choice of money from Mainz to let him go before the buyout.
This is the kind of transfer... You know, if you're a Wolfsburg fan, this is probably the kind of transfer you want to see, though. You don't want to see them really signing, you know, Galacticos or their equivalent of Galacticos. You don't want, you know, you don't want them selling Julian Draxler and then signing Leroy Sané, you know, because it's going to be the same thing over again. But Younes Mali is, sure, we just spoke about how he has his own ambitions to probably play in England one day or Spain or whatever, blah, blah, blah. He is a proven Bundesliga player. He didn't cost too much money. There isn't too much pressure on him, I think.
He does his job.
He does his job. He can get into that team and he'll get stuck in, and he'll just be a good player, not some star who might go sulking or follow the coach or something, you know. So I think it's a great signing. I really do. I've been quite impressed with Wolfsburg, actually, in January. I wish they'd just get a decent coach. I don't know why they can put so much effort into
What about these
don't talk like that about Valerian Smith.
Legend.
Well, what about these other two players? What about Paul Jorge and Entebbe? I mean, we don't really know a lot about them, but I think Sophie, you can tell us something about Entebbe, especially.
Yeah. Entebbe, he got injured last year. Oh yeah, last year. Mm. What, he had a big injury. Before that, he was supposed to be the next big thing. In France, he chose to play for France, despite being born in Cameroon. So most of the time, it means that the guy has potential, because in France, when you are not that good, you choose to play for your African country. Mm-hmm. And then when you're good, the French national team approach you. So he was approached very young. He chose to play for France, play a couple games for the national team, then so got injured. And then the... everybody start talking about Ousmane Dembélé at the same time. So people kind of forget about him, but he was very good when he was on his feet. And he's a very good guy from what everybody's saying at Rennes. Very close to the fans, very close to the people. Yeah, very good guy. And actually, he didn't want to leave at the end of the summer because his contract was ending at the end of the summer. And he wanted... actually, that Rennes can earn some money with him. So he chose to left in January. Wolfsburg was not his first choice. He said it quite frankly. He said, yeah, it's a step up. I wish it was a bigger club, another club that's not...
charming.
Yeah, but I think he's quite honest. But at the same time, he said, but I'm happy about it. Like, yeah, I'm happy for the club because they are earning money from my transfer. And me, I can... being a league that's very good, and he spoke to Dembélé, who said to him, it's very cool, come to the Bundesliga. I think he also came because the coach is French, the assistant coach is French now, because they have a new assistant coach, and he also came because there is Joshua Guilabogui, who is French. So I think he needed a familiar environment, and I think he's going to be developed very well. And I think he's a more... finished player than Dembélé, because he's older.
Is he a winger or a striker?
He's a winger more.
Oh, okay. Because I thought he was a striker. I thought that's kind of what they...
Yeah, but he plays... actually, the problem with...
You've got
all
quite a lot of winners, though, I'd say.
But he can play. Yeah. Up front, the problem with every guy that came from Rennes is that Rennes had a lot of coaches. Because in France, we get rid of the coach when they have four bad results. So I think he had... 3 or 4 coaches already. So he played different positions.
Oh, okay.
So well, Wolfsburg might not be any better, frankly. So
I think he's going to change coach very early. But yeah, it's the problem is that you don't really know. Like when Dembélé came to Dortmund, he had 1 year of professional football behind him, and nobody knew exactly what he can do. People knew that he was talented, where he could play. But I mean, I see him do things that I had no idea he could do, because it's the first time that he has a real coach. So we'll see for Entebbe that doesn't have the same chance, because like you said, the problem with Wolfsburg is that every signing is very good that they do, but Valerian Ismail is not a good coach. Like,
Well, that's because that's my next question. With these two guys, and of course, Bazour, I think he's more of a central midfielder rather than someone up front. With these two guys, is Wolfsburg really going to get that much away from danger, or are these two guys going to basically help them at least survive, and then next year they'll shoot back up the table? So we don't know. I mean, we don't know. It's also an answer.
No, yeah, originally Bazour, for example, he played a lot last year with Ajax. This season he was injured, I think, 2 weeks. He had two injuries. He was injured 2 weeks, and he didn't play at all this season. So he played 5 games, I think, in the league. Maybe 9 since the summer. So I don't know if he's fit enough to play and to bring something in this team. So, and now is in Wolfsburg, Joshua Guilabogui is back. Maxi Arnold make the job. Luis Gustavo is maybe going to go somewhere else. And you have Paul Seguin also. I don't know if Bazour is going to be... To be fit enough to integrate the first team right now. I don't know.
But the thing about Wolfsburg is that, you know, they already have the talent to turn things around. It's not as if they signed these three guys and these three are the only good players they have. their squad on paper still looks fantastic.
Well, to be fair, I mean, they're adding Molly in January. I mean, Molly's not a flub. I mean, he's the...
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I'm saying, like, these guys are all obviously really good, talented players. They've got a squad full of talented players. Like, it's whether the coach can turn these guys around and get them playing well, you know?
Maybe they're going to be relieved also not to have to live by the Drexler Alof drama that was happening for 6 months. Yeah. I think it was a big problem for them, because when you have your sporting director and your best player that cannot get along and that cannot go to interviews to trash the other, I think it's awful for the coach, the players. I think it's not a very good environment. I think it's going to get better just because they're not here anymore. I don't think Valérien Smet is going to get better at this job. He was already not that good at Nuremberg. So. But yeah, I think they're going to be relieved not to have to live by the drama all the time. So
it's just smart business. It's the kind of business... again, I think Dortmund fans would be... I don't really want to go on a rant about Dortmund, but I kind of do, because, you know, Thomas Tuchel did this interview a few weeks ago, or this week, or, well, today's Sunday, so a few days ago, and he was asked about signing players. Like, no, we're not signing them, we're just going to try and, you know, implement the new players in more, and I get that, but, again, we've had this debate on the show a number of times. Like, every season, to me, it seems as though it's their inability in the transfer market that lets Dortmund down, either when they're selling their best players or when they're not really taking advantage of the transfer market. And I think there are obvious holes in that team. That team looks like it's really missing depth.
Well, to be fair, is Younes Malı, adding someone like Younes Malı, is that going to really
I'm not saying any specific players. I'm saying, like, you know, I know.
But I mean, plenty of teams don't buy in January.
Don't should be buying. That's what I'm saying, though.
And you think they should be buying in January?
I like the way that Bayern are being pragmatic. That Wolfsburg are being pragmatic. You know, Dortmund. Why? Dortmund are sixth place. You know, if it wasn't Thomas Tuchel and he hadn't, you know, sure, he's lost three good players and people. Thomas Tuchel still has a lot of good, you know, faith with the fans. Of course, he does. But if Dortmund are finishing sixth in Christmas time, they should be really thinking, like, what is going, how are we going to fix this? Because, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's normal, actually.
Yeah, but not by buying players.
Yeah, I don't think buying players is the solution. Maybe it's the British solution, but I don't think it's the... I don't think most clubs... basically, if you look at their transfer balance, they didn't spend that much more in the summer than they brought in from these transfers. That not that kind of club that just goes out and that can spend 50 million, have a 50 million euro transfer debt.
They
don't want to, because Vasco wants to go into the AGM every year saying, oh, look how much profit we made, or look how much revenue we made.
But it was, yeah, because that's his job for now. Like, he came...
Yeah, but...
Bayern doesn't do that either. Bayern doesn't spend more than 40 million euros on a single transfer.
Bayern buy players when they have to buy them. And when they have to spend money, they spend money. Vasquez is far more interested in selling players and making money than actually building
a squad.
I think he's not happy
He did not have to sell those three players in the summer. He did not have to.
Of course he had.
I don't think he had to.
They had 1 year of contract each.
Well, why do you have to sell them?
Because you're all going to make no profit.
All three, so you're going to... So you would want the all three...
What's 30 million to Dortmund?
I think he did it for Lewandowski.
30 million to Dortmund, that's a lot.
They make like 300 million a year.
Yeah, but they had that... They have that money now. They had that money at the time to go in and invest in a guy like Ousmane Dembele.
And how much are they going to lose if they don't finish in the top four because they sold those three players?
I think that's normal that... I think they also look at it that in the way that Matsumoto was here since
2008.
So he had his time. So that's it. He was here for longer than most people thought. Because when he came, he was the guy that was on loan. Then he signed for Dortmund and... nobody thought that he was staying. I thought that by 2014 he will...
Okay, Hummels is fine, right?
Okay.
Explain Mkhitaryan then.
I will say that Mkhitaryan is maybe the only case where I could have understand that they will have keep him, but for Gundogan, I think he extended his contract like 2 times already before a year. I think he was out.
Mkhitaryan doesn't have an allegiance to Dortmund.
He didn't want to stay.
That's fine, but he also don't have to sell him either.
Well, it's either you sell them a year before his contract for a pretty lump sum, or you don't get anything for him, and he leaves for nothing.
But the problem
is the basic debate.
No, but it's planning. It's all to do with the planning. They have to look.
Nobody thought that he was going to leave.
Oh,
nobody
but agents
thought.
Don't
but
want
this is
him.
What I'm saying, though.
But
like, yeah, it's fine if you sell one of them each summer. But surely someone, I mean, in the interview I just mentioned where he did with Raphael Honigstein, you can clearly tell that Thomas Tuchel is still absolutely furious that the club sold these players. And I totally agree with him.
Yeah, but he's not furious only at the club.
He doesn't blame the players.
Yeah, but
I think he blames someone, and it's the same person I blame. I'm even a Dortmund fan, and I'm angry.
I think he's blaming some players. Like, I think Mkhitaryan is a case that's very complicated because you can keep Lewandowski for free for a year because Lewandowski is a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to give the best. You know he's going to be good. Mkhitaryan is not. He wasn't that good the first 2 years. You had to pay him a lot of money. He had very high salary for 2 years. He didn't do that much.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good the last year. And then because he's good, and he's not good in the good games, in the great games. He's not good against Bayern on the 3 games that they play against them. He's not good against Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big... And he's a guy that demands. He's a guy that came and say, I want to leave because I'm the best Bundesliga player. When you are a guy that asks that and then pushes to go,
mm-hmm.
don't keep him. He's not going to be any good. Mkhitaryan is a guy that's not going to be good if he's not in a clear state of mind. He's not a professional on that point.
Yeah, okay, so that's one option. So
you have to sell him because you're going to keep him for a year and he's going to make his sad face that he does all the time when he's not happy. He's going to do his sad face on the bench and say, oh my God, I had to stay for a year. It's awful.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
I appreciate what you're saying.
We were just talking
about
Julian Draxler.
I don't think you can compare Mkhitaryan and Julian Draxler.
No, I don't think so.
For a start, Mkhitaryan and Thomas Tuchel got on very, very well. He played well under Thomas Tuchel.
And he decided to go. That tells you something.
No, well, because of his agent.
You can fire your
agent.
Mario Götze fired his agent.
And it's Vasca. Vasca always wants to get the money. He's like Daniel Levy at Tottenham. He always wants to get the money. Yes, he is.
No, because he could have got so much more money by selling
could
have sold Marco Reus. He didn't do it.
Okay.
Nobody
wants Marco Reus.
At the time,
if Vesco was all about
Real Madrid offered 80 million the year.
This
before
year
his contract
ex-
no,
no
before
okay.
the contract
they should have
extension
should have said that okay
he didn't do it
I want to watch this
he didn't do it
but the Mkhitaryan
he doesn't
for example
do it all the time.
For example the Mkhitaryan thing where you're saying, so Vasca walks into Thomas Tuchel's office and says we've got £40 million offer from Mkhitaryan and Thomas Tuchel says he's my most important player and then Vasca says yeah well if we don't sell him he'll go on a huff all season.
Mkhitaryan.
And then, so what? And Thomas Tuchel's like, okay, cool, it's fine. Christian Pulisic will pull up his socks and he'll make up for him.
Mkhitaryan left without saying goodbye to anybody in the team, even his coach.
Well, this is
so
what I'm
that's
saying.
Not a good guy.
No, that shows there was no planning. That shows an offer came in and Vasca couldn't run
to the
bank quick enough.
But he could have said, Mkhitaryan never said, he could have said, I love that coach, I want to stay. He didn't say it once. He stayed with Raiola, like Mario Götze. Had one of the top agents in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
His agent wanted him to go to Liverpool. He said, you want me to go to Liverpool? I'm out of it.
Yeah.
He fired his agent. It's the most powerful agent in Germany. He fired him. You can fire Raiola if you want.
No, he can't.
He didn't do it.
No, he cannot.
Hummels.
So he didn't shoot
fire. Hummels is the perfect example of this. If Vasco was really worried about the money with Hummels, then why didn't he sell him a year before this summer to Manchester United for much more money.
The point I'm making here is that Thomas Tuchel would have sat down with every single one of these transfers and said to Vasca, we don't have a replacement for this. Was Vasca going to be like, oh, it's fine, we got Bartra from Barcelona. Thomas Tuchel, like, that's not enough. Oh, so we got Emery Moore to replace Mkhitaryan? Not to replace Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, but he chose him.
Okay, of course, he's a great young player, but...
No, he chose. He went to Denmark to see him, to talk to his parents. I talked to the parents of Emery Moore. Thomas Tuchel went to Denmark to talk to Emery Moore by himself. So yeah, Thomas Tuchel did some choices that are not working right now are his choices, and I love the guy, and I think he's a great coach, and I don't like Vasquez that much, but I think it's not all Vasquez's fault. I think Tuchel made some bad choices actually this summer.
But the thing about Mkhitaryan, there was an article in the Süddeutsche Zeitung, which is a pretty serious a journal here, the newspaper here in Germany. The thing is, already in April, Mkhitaryan decided to give away his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with it when the player already has in mind that he is going to go?
Yeah, but clubs still have the power here. They can still. I mean, I know what you're saying, but like Dortmund aren't Mainz. They don't have to sell players to make money.
But with some players, you can make them stay. I agree with you. Some players, you can make them stay. Like, you can make Lewandowski stay because he's a professional and he wants to be the best player there is. So you can say, okay, you're going to stay a year. It's going to be good. Some players, you can't.
Mm.
And that's the same case with Aubameyang. Like, everybody knows that this summer he wanted out. There was some offer from Manchester City, maybe from Real Madrid, but that's more...
Or from China.
Or from China, maybe, yeah. And they said no, and he stays, and he's very good. Mkhitaryan is a guy, and I'm not, like... I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think he's a guy that runs by his emotion a lot, and we have seen that in United. Like, he's a guy that... If he's not in a good place,
mm-hmm.
if he knows that his agent is asking him every day, you have to leave, you have to leave... is not going to be good.
Mm.
And I think that you have some players you can keep, some players you can't. And I think the three of them were... It's unfortunate that the three of them happened in the same transfer window. I think the three of them could not stay. Because Gundogan was not fit anymore. And you can see that at Manchester City, where he played like 4 games since the beginning of the season. I think it's good business what he did. Even if he's... I love Gundogan. I think he's a great player. But right now he's not playing for City, so he will have not played for Dortmund, and you will have paid his salary for not playing. So, and Hummels, I think Hummels is the case that's the most complicated, actually. I think it's more, Mats Hummels is a way more complicated case, I think, than Mkhitaryan and Gundogan. Because Hummels, if Vasquez had said, you have to stay here a year, he will have stayed.
Yeah, exactly.
He will have played. The Hummels case is weird. But I think in the locker room, the situation was too complicated, for him to stay. But I think you kind of made him stay. One out of three.
I'm not going to defend the three of them as professionals at no point. And I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, like, the way you try and structure the clubs. Like, Ross and I talk about it all the time. Dortmund should be looking at the way Atletico Madrid run their company, their business. Now, I know Atletico have agents and stuff to do stuff for them on their behalf to make sure they're always players in place, but...
And they have China money.
Yeah, sure. But you just cannot sell those three people at once and then bring in Mark Bartra and think everything's going to be fine.
I don't think
they thought that everything was going to be fine.
A very good interview of Vasquez this summer in Die Zeit, and he said, I know that we're not going to win anything this year. I know it's going to be complicated. I know it's going to take time because they have a lot of really young players like Dembele, like Emre Mor. That it's going to take time, like Pulisic. It's going to take time, you know that.
Mm.
And I think it was the end of something. I think Tuchel took a team that was basically Jurgen Klopp team, still. And I think it was the end of it. And they have to build something else. It's not a team that can be good every year. They have to build something else. It's not like Bayern. You cannot bring the best player every year.
I think Tuchel knew what he was walking into, to be honest.
Well, you said in an interview, you said usually what happens is you come into a club and the first year's chaos... Then the second season, things start to make sense. He said, at Dortmund, it's the opposite. First season went so smooth, and this season's chaos, you know? But that's what I'm saying. It's damage limitations, I think, is what I'm probably looking for, what they should have done this summer. I think if it costs 30 million, fine, you keep Hummels for one more season, just so that back line isn't a shambles like it is right now.
Yeah, but if you don't get that 30 million, then they don't get the stars that they are.
They didn't even spend any money in the summer, did they? I think their net spend was like 5 million or something.
No, their net spend was 5 million, and that's what they wanted to do. And that's
it's a lot. It's the most that they
yeah, but it's also the most they've made as well. Like the actual money that they spent before the summer, they didn't. The money that they actually had before the summer is only they only spent about 5 million.
Yeah, but it's a club that was in such a bad shape 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I understand
this
that they think like I think at some point they had to get to
Dortmund make more money than Juventus.
Yeah, but 10 years ago there was nothing anymore.
I don't care about 10 years ago.
No, Vatska went for this.
I know, I know. He's been around for there. I know Dortmund fans are probably screaming at their phones right now, saying the same thing. But I don't care. That you can't use as an excuse if you want to be the second biggest team in Germany. You
but
need
they
to be
don't
better.
Want to.
You have to be better than.
But
that.
They don't want to though. That's the question. That the real question, and that's a question for another time. But that's what Dortmund wants to be, and I think that. People want them to be champion. People want them to win the title. And Vatska said it, I think it was smart to say that this summer. He said, people want us to succeed. And it's cool. But they want other things. And I think that the thing that they want is financial stability for now. And I think that's for 10 years. I think for at least 4 or 5 years more, they want stability. Mm-hmm. I think that's what
they
want.
I mean, this has been a story for years that they don't spend as much money as they make. But this is obviously for a reason. I mean, it's not like this has changed over a period of time.
For example, they want to claim their stadium back.
Yeah, I know. Vatska,
for example, all that stuff.
Vatska is obviously a very, very good businessman. He knows how to make money. And under his leadership, Dortmund have gone from a club almost out of business to, you know what, second most revenue, biggest club in Germany.
And they won 2 titles, so he has no.
It's fine, we've got Leipzig now, so they'll be
yes.
second and everything's fine.
And that'll be a good showdown. Yeah, that'll be a very good showdown. But we're going to wrap this one up. We have some Bundesliga action to prepare for.
And we'll have another episode before we go
yep.
back, which will be more specific to the football.
Yeah.
More of a predictions podcast we're mm-hmm. doing. So
thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you hopefully later this week. Thank you.